This week's episode, I raise a flag, tanker troubles, and I look for a jet ski. And this is the bottom line.
I'm not drunk enough for this.
And that's Christy, and this is the bottom. Hey everybody, I'm Doug.
And I'm Christy.
And this is the bottom line. Welcome.
Welcome back.
That's my TV voice. For the next contestant, come on down. No, okay, go ahead. we love you guys. Welcome back. We just got back off charter, so here we are. Let's just jump right into it. What do we got?
Well, we have our sponsors, of course, Marine Data Solutions and Salty Rex Crew Apparel.
Marine Data Solutions, I've got 99 problems on board.
And the internet's not one of them!
And Salty Rex Crew Apparel, what do they do for us?
Well, they keep us looking fly and personalized gear for our boats.
They keep her looking fly. I'm a lost cause. They also do bed linen. They do towels. They do
swag.
Executions,
extortion.
They do kidnapping, but that's an
sometimes
extra charge.
That's an extra upcharge.
All right, anything else on there?
We do. We have our new sponsor.
New sponsor. Yay!
Yeah.
Yes, who's part of the Bottom Line family now?
Well, we are proud to announce that Crew Haven is now sponsoring Crew Corner.
Crew Haven. They're pretty cool. And Jamie's really awesome.
She is.
I love
She's
Jamie.
Amazing.
So here's the deal. They have a group of houses, mm-hmm. and they rent out to crew,
mm-hmm.
okay? And but they're all next to Lauderdale Marine Center. So if you're doing a refit or something, you know, it kind of sucks to stay on the boat out of the water. I make my crew do it. No, we all have houses. But instead of doing that, they've got houses that you can rent right next to Lauderdale Marine Center, mm-hmm. for your refit.
Mm-hmm.
I think the captain should get the first choice.
Of course, the master.
Yeah. Do we have a motto for them yet?
We do. Come get rest like the guests.
Come get rested like the guested. I like that. Yeah. So they actually have 24-hour guys that take care of the property.
Mm-hmm.
They have internet.
Mm-hmm.
They have laundry.
Mm-hmm.
They have. They give you. They have like a big balloon house in the back. Bouncy house?
Bouncy house.
No, they don't have a bouncy house.
Sure, it can be arranged.
But they're very clean. They're very nice. We're actually going to do a show, mm-hmm. you know, in one of their locations, mm-hmm. soon. So welcome to the Bottom Line family.
Welcome.
So on our last charter, our chef Brandon is actually, we did something with him. He's going to show you how to make an omelet really fast. Mm-hmm. And it's really fast. And then I know you guys like the Bottom Line short, so we're going to do more of those. And we had some people who are trying to buy like a 110-foot motor yacht. It's like, hey, we're buying this boat, and you want to film us because we don't know anything we're doing? We're like, yeah, we want
of
to
course.
Film that. So we got a lot of cool stuff coming up. Next.
Well, of course, we want to do a shout out to JC and Daniel from the 100-Foot Majesty.
Yeah, we were on charter, and they gave us a shout out. They gave us a call on the radio. Love the show. You guys stay safe out there. Your boat looks great. Thanks for the shout over the radio. And you guys are awesome. You rock. Nice boat, too.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. There's some secret news going on. I can't tell you. He told me, but I can't tell you. It's pretty cool, though. Okay. All right. So if you all know JC, ask him. You probably already know. Go ahead. Next.
Thanks, JC. Working. Well, we're going to talk about the Yacht Utopia sinking the tanker.
Oh, yes. The Yacht Utopia went crazy and started sinking boats. No, that's not true at all.
Not quite.
No. Okay. Straight news for real. Okay. Yes. The motor yacht Utopia 4, mm-hmm. which is like 206 feet long,
mm-hmm.
Hit a tanker over in a liquid carrier over in the Bahamas, and it sank. All right. Now, is everybody okay?
Yes.
Yeah, everybody's fine.
Everyone survived.
Everybody's fine. The tanker sank. I'm not going to speculate. Let's wait for the report. A couple of things I'd like to know. Who's on the bridge at the time?
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing is like everybody's like, oh, I was doing 20 knots at night. I do 14 at night. You know, I mean, the cruise ships do 20 knots at night.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the speed.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Rule 5. And you don't know what Rule 5 is.
Actually, I do, Doug. Thank you for that boost of confidence.
What?
Maintaining a proper lookout.
Bing, bing, bing. It's a no-brainer. Yep. No matter what else has happened, Rule 5 was broken here.
Mm-hmm.
These new yachts with these designers are doing all kinds of crazy. We interviewed FedShip, and mm-hmm. FedShip's like, yeah, we're putting a bridge down in the village, okay? A lot of yachts are pushing the wheelhouses down, Utopia 5, 4 too, pushing the wheelhouses down in the main deck and pushing the bow way up.
Mm-hmm.
That creates a dead zone in the front of the boat because it's just you take a ruler and, you know, it could go out hundreds of feet where you will not literally see under the bow of the boat. I'm not saying that that's the reason this happened, but what I am saying is if you're running a boat like that, I strongly recommend that you post lookouts either on the bow or up on the flybridge at a higher point of the boat. That could be, Usually you got the bridge, and you got the owner's deck now where the bridge used to be. Then you got the fly bridge. So I know it's going to be middle of the night, and some deckhand is going to have to be up there, you know, leaning on the jacuzzi. Looking forward, but sorry, gang, that's what you got to do. It's called maintaining a proper lookout. You can't do it on a bridge at night on the main deck. It's just, it goes back to World War II. At least, maybe there's, you know, rogue U-boats out there.
You might never know.
We ran into one.
Fire.
Okay.
Twice.
Next.
Thought we weren't going to bring that up. The rise of the yacht liners.
I told you guys before, these yachts are going to get so big, there's going to, the line's going to blur with cruise ships and yachts. So here we are.
Here
how big is this one?
It is 222 meters.
That's huge. I can't even do the math on that. How many tons is it? 39,000?
Ah, 30, yes.
Jesus Louises. Okay, so they are, how are they marketing it? As a mega yacht, right?
It is.
They're marketing it as a mega yacht, but it's more of
yacht liner.
What do you call it? A yacht liner. Yeah.
Apartments.
Now, I have a problem with that. And it's not a problem. It's just my opinion. If you own your home, okay, and it's a mansion or something, all right, and you own a yacht, that's your private thing. I mean, that's what it is. It's a yacht. This thing, how many cabins does it sell?
39 apartments on this.
That they sell?
For $8 million, yes.
So $8 million buys you like 1,500 square foot. That sounds more like a condo. Not really a yacht. I mean, you wouldn't call your mansion a condo, would you? So there's got to be a new, I guess yacht liner is good.
Yacht liner.
Yeah. Anyway, liner. I don't think it's really a mega yacht, super yacht. Okay.
It's interesting.
Next.
Well, we definitely ran into this summer, the lack of jet skis made.
So I ordered jet skis in July.
Yeah.
And when do we get them?
Just a week ago.
All right. And when I was over at Riva Motorsports, I took some video. You look at this warehouse. Empty. And the ones that are there have the sold sign on. So this is a fact of COVID. So why am I saying this? You guys got to plan ahead. I mean, it took us 4 months. We ordered an e-foil 3 weeks ago, and we still don't have it. I mean, so plan ahead when you're ordering supplies and stuff, because
it's impacting everything.
It is. Oh, by the way, I got some real good news. If you guys are even still watching. So if you hold a Merchant Mariner's document and your passport's expired, okay, you can get it in 1 day.
That's amazing.
I'm not kidding.
I thought it took 3 weeks.
3 weeks, okay. So you can expedite your passport, and they say it's going to take 2 weeks or whatever. There's a special Marine division. It's a division for Merchant Mariners and flight crews for planes. I overnighted it to this special location. They got it at 9 a.m. It was being overnighted back to me at 4 p.m. the same day. I had my passport back in Florida in like 2 days. It's insane. You have to send them a copy of your Merchant Marine license, and you have to call to get the special division. You have to tell them that you're a Merchant Marine guy, and then they'll send you to a whole other department. I didn't even know existed. I got my passport in 1 day.
Okay. Secret.
Next.
Well, let's check out what Brandon's got going on in the galley.
Oh, okay.
To help crew out.
All right. Yeah, here we go.
Hey, all you crew out there. This is Chef Brandon with The Bottom Line. I'm going to take you through something quick and easy. You don't have to relegate yourself to eating granola bars or what have you. If you want some eggs, this is quick, easy, simple. I'm going to make an omelet with you today. First thing we want to do is have all of our ingredients ready to go. All right? That's very important. Now, the first thing I did was put some butter in the pan, get it nice and hot, and let our vegetables cook. Now, I'm going to add this ham last because it's a little more tender. All right, and we're going to let that come up a little bit, and then I'll take you through exactly how to make an omelet. I've got my oven over here on broil. If you don't want your eggs fully cooked, you can always go right into onto the plate, and they'll continue cooking. I like to get mine a little bit fluffy. So, once we add our eggs, the technique is simple. You're going to put your pan down, you're going to pull it back and fill in the gaps until the runny eggs are basically done. All right? Just like this, you're going to run it around the pan, and then we're going to add some cheese, and we're going to pop it into the oven on broil for about 30 seconds. Just like that. All right, guys, 30 seconds later, we're gonna pull out this pan, and you're gonna notice that all of that egg has been cooked. We're gonna simply run our spatula around it, put it on the plate, and flip it over. Bon appetito, crew, hey!
Hey, that was pretty cool.
That was cool.
You know what? I never knew how to make an omelet. Now I can have breakfast.
He makes it look easy.
He does make it look easy. It was
Thank
like
you, Brandon.
Seconds.
Well, we have Crew Corner.
Crew Corner brought to you by Crew Haven.
The best place to call home when you are away from home.
Okay, what do we got?
Well, we had a huge debate on social media about flag etiquette.
Who started that?
Captain Jason, who was on a Fed ship, had this debate with his charter guest.
Congrats, by the way, Jason getting that new Fed ship. She's a beauty. If you ever want us to walk through, let us know.
Let us know.
Okay, so they put a poll up. What was the poll results?
Well, 233 people said that the flag should remain up at sunset, and 109 said that it should be taken down.
Okay, so the question, if you're at anchor in the harbor, some people are like, oh, if you're at anchor, you're still considered underway. But anyway, I'm sorry, the 233 were wrong. Okay, the 109 were right. And I'm going to give you a little bit quick background. Okay, I'm ex-Navy. I was on a carrier when I was like 15, a special program. I was in the Coast Guard. I know all about flags and the way, and I'm trying to be a real educational show here. So I had to figure out, where do we get these rules and where these traditions come from? They come from the Navy, you know, actually from the British Navy. Started in 1797 by an admiral because, you know, everybody was getting confused. What boat are you on? So anyway, I used the Navy and the Coast Guard, the Blue Jacket Manual. Okay, and the Blue Jacket Manual is the Bible for these organizations if you want to be a sailor. And actually, I name every boat that I've ever owned Blue Jacket. I took it from the New York Yacht Club. I took it from the Houston Yacht Club. They're really big on flags. Chapman's Book of Seamanship and the U.S. Power Squadrons. So, I mean, I took all this information, and this is what I came up with. The Navy. Okay, first of all, it's called colors, by the way. We're talking about colors. That's raising and lowering the flag. You use this every day. If you go out on a bad date and you go back to your friends and go, oh my God, it was all good until he showed his true colors. Yeah? See? True colors is like when the Navy's like seeing another boat and another boat pulls their flag up. Oh, we're friends. And then get closer and the pirate flag goes, arr, you know? And he's like, oh, mate, that guy just showed us your true colors.
Let's blow him up.
Blow up the true flag. Yeah. You do that so you don't get blowed up. All right? Okay. So... All right, according to the Navy, all right, when a ship is, quote, a ship is anchored or moored between the hours of 8 a.m. and sunset, it flies the ensign at the flagstaff and the Union Jack. We don't have to talk about Union Jack. While underway, the ensign will be shifting colors to the yardarm or the gaff, the highest place whatsoever, while it's underway. Now, all these people agree on this. If you're underway and you're out of sight of other vessels and out of sight of land, you don't have to fly them at all. Okay. They also say you have to fly it during a battle. Okay, well, we don't get into battles. They do that so you don't get blowed up. Once you get underway from anchor, you have to shift colors. It means put them up, even if it's at nighttime. So right there's the answer. If you have to raise colors when you're getting underway at night, they probably should be down before you leave from anchor. All right. Now, according to New York Yacht Club, you can fly several different flags. It's kind of cool. All right, you have the U.S. ensign, and then you have what we call a yacht ensign. In 1747, the Commodore of the New York Yacht Club was getting sick of getting pulled over because back then it was a total tax. That's how the government made their money. Every boat that came into the harbor was stopped and checked for cargo to see the tariff, how much the cost would be. They got sick of it because every time you pull in, they were getting stopped. It took a lot of time. So they came up with this flag, and the Navy liked it. And actually, the Secretary of the Navy said, they called back to New York Yacht Club and says, yeah, give us an idea. That's where that flag came with the anchor in it. That means you're domestic only. Do not board me for the tariff tax. Pretty cool. Mm-hmm. There is another flag you can fly, which is the U.S. Power Squadron's flag. The U.S. Power Squadron's flag was adopted to be flown instead of the U.S. ensign. And that's pretty cool. All All right, that was through Congress as well. So you can see three different flags for the United States. You have to be a member of the Power Squadron to fly that. I fly that because I am a member of the Power Squadron on all my personal boats. And, you know, you can see right there, there's a photo of it. It's kind of cool because when you pull in, everybody's like, yo, man, where are you from? What's that flag? It was U.S. Power Squadron. What's that? Now, listen, flags are a language, and it's a dying language. And I'm not going to go around and call anybody on the radio if you're not flying your flag right. Okay? It's captains run their boats the way they run their boats. But good captains should know the history, at least. This is the history. And even if you don't, you know, use it, it's good to know, especially when you're in the bar. Now, there's a couple other places that you can fly the U.S. ensign, and that is, if you're on a sport fishing boat, the Chapman's has said that, okay, we don't want your flag back there because you're fishing. You can fly behind a flybridge or someplace higher up, maybe a tune tower or something like that. And sailboats, shifting colors. Navy vessels, when they get underway, they shift it. They go from the aft deck all the way up top. Do you know why they put the flag all the way up top?
So they can be seen.
So you can be seen far away, so we know what nationality you are. Now, sailors follow that tradition a little bit more. They'll put it on the flag about three quarters up, so that's kind of shifting colors for them. Yachts, we just kind of leave them in the back. Did I miss anything? I think I got everything. It's really cool. Flags are a language. It's really clear on this. You are at anchor. You're supposed to lower the flag at sunset. That's it. Mm-hmm. If you are underway at night in sight of land, it's supposed to be up. You come to anchor. It comes down. Now, they're going way back hundreds of years. There was an old rule saying that you're supposed to leave your flag up all night when you come into a harbor and anchor. That's so when everybody wakes up, they know that you're not an enemy ship waiting to blow them up. Okay, that is to say, hey, we're the good guys. We don't have to really do that anymore. But that, again, reinforces the statement that when you're at anchor at night, the flag comes down. All right. If you leave the vessel early during the day, take it down. If you're not going up if you don't show up the next morning, just leave it down. Do not leave it up all the time because, oh, I'm coming back in a week. And I'm going to bust this myth right now. Everybody feels that if you put a light on the back of the boat to light the flag at night, that's cool. That's just a rumor that everybody has taken as fact. I can't find anything here that states that at all for a maritime platform, meaning a vessel, okay? There's nothing here that states that. I've never heard it. I've been doing this for freaking 40 years.
Forever.
And I've never seen that. So that's just kind of almost laziness. I think I've covered it. Take the flag down at anchor on sunset. And if you're in Newport Harbor, you better listen to the cannon because they're pretty strict about it. Okay, so I think that sums it up. Do you?
I mean, it's
really clear. And again, guys, do whatever you want. I'm not the flag police. I'm just trying to give you the history, and it's a proud history, and it's also a language. So anyway, I think that's it. I'm Doug.
And I'm Christy.
I did the thing. Sorry.